Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever
Dog.
Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby. And if you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far, don't worry, baby. And I'll call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry.
Oh my God, I met Susan Sarandon.
You did?
Yes.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
All right, so we've started to shoot this show, Carol's Second Act, that's going to premiere on CBS September 26th at 9:30. That's Thursdays at 9:30. I'm so excited. I'm so pumped about this job. One of the coolest parts is that I have a dressing room, and my wife, Shauna, made my dressing room so comfy and so sweet. So, yeah, sit back, relax, and listen to an interview that Ashley Tisdale herself said.
Oh, my God, girl. You, like, hit all the questions pretty
much. I did, right?
Yeah.
This is my chat with my new friend, Ashley Tisdale. Can you talk into the mic?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Is that the most comfortable way to
Hola.
Say it? Hola.
Hola.
Hola, bonita. ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, you lit the candle I like. I lit just for me.
That candle, that's the first time that I lit it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Just
okay.
For me.
That's right. Just for you, baby.
Just for me.
Okay. Okay. Comfy time? You can hold it too.
Let's do,
I like
oh, yeah.
Holding it.
Yeah, I like holding it
that's
too.
The one.
It feels
all right.
Like a singer.
Cute.
So cool. I'm going to just get comfortable.
Just get comfortable.
You know, whenever
take
I record, I have
off.
To take my shoes off.
If I take my shoes off, you might smell my feet.
Well, you might smell mine too, but.
All right, I'm going to take my shoes off. You let me know and you be honest when you smell my feet.
Okay. I'm fine.
Okay, perfect.
I do have a sensitive nose, FYI.
Hello? Come on in.
We're filming.
We're shooting a podcast.
Who is it?
Oh my God.
we both said who is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle McLaughlin himself.
Kyle.
Can you say some words to the Goody Goody podcast community?
Yes, hello, Goody Goody podcast community.
Did you just bring her rosé?
Yes. Did I what?
You brought rosé?
Yeah.
I want some rosé.
Okay.
That's my favorite drink.
Okay, that's your favorite drink, rosé?
Yeah, rosé. It's the only thing I drink.
You were thinking about the weekend, and I said, all right.
Oh, my God. Blushing Bear Rosé.
Oh,
this
my
is Kyle
gosh.
McLaughlin's wine. Incredible. And such a cute bear on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Today's right. Podcast is brought to you by Blushing Bear. Blushing Bear. What makes a bear blush? Rosé, honey. You see a bear in the wild, you pour a glass of rosé and you tickle his chin. Blushing Bear.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you get paid to do this?
Look, we don't have to get into the details.
Is this why you're doing this?
I do this for the conversations. I do this.
Sure.
I do this for the sound effects.
For your daily reminder that I'm the star of a sitcom.
Ashley, it's
Hi.
Been so nice to get to know you, honey. Is that a weird way to start?
Yeah.
I did lay fully down.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable now.
Okay. How cool is it that Kyle has wine?
I know.
Are you going to make a wine?
No.
How many things do
I'm
you have? How many
stuff.
Plates are you spinning?
Yeah. I have enough on my plate.
You have a makeup line.
Yes.
You have an Instagram that has over 11 million followers, which I just need to remind America, which is my target demo, is
okay.
America and beyond. I'd like to remind the international community of listeners
yeah.
that 11 million followers is like like the show that we're on, the CBS show, if we get like 6 or 7 million watchers,
yeah,
then we're a success.
Well, so I have 40 million across all platforms.
40 million. Yes. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
You're like, bitch, don't undercut me.
That's just 11.
40 million across all platforms. Yeah. So do you, if you're like drinking, did someone take the phone away or what?
No, I've definitely done some tweets in the past where I was like, oops, I shouldn't have tweeted that.
Tell me all the tweets, JK.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's just like when you're young and like you just say things that are like mean because, you know, it's like an ex did something. And so
you've tweeted at an ex?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you've just like you've been public forever in your life. I was talking about you on last week's podcast with Ryan Safi. About how going through the TCAs and having like a gaggle of people around you who giggle. Ugh, it's so annoying that I said it that way again.
Oh
a gaggle of people who giggle.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That it's like just the idea that you meeting you and that you're a cool person like has their, that you're just like a
be
real
careful,
person.
I'll tweet you. Oh, please don't tweet to me, honey.
Honey, I would like it. How, well, I've asked you this off the air, but I want it on the air.
Wow.
And that's how you live forever, dog.
That wasn't connected to anything. I just wanted to show you that I have more than one sound effect. Just like, how do you live?
This is so professional in your dressing room.
It is so professional. Let me set the scene. I've got the blushing wine, the blushing Vera Rosé. I've got a $300 candle that my agents bought for me that I only lit when Ashley was in the room and acted as if I light it all the time, but it's truly stressing me out. I look at it and I'm like, it's a dollar a minute. It's probably $2 a minute.
Oh, my God.
But you told me that the reason that you're normal is because your family is good.
Yeah. Well, they keep me grounded.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like in this business, you know, growing up in it, I think it was just mainly that my dad really wanted me to have a very normal childhood. And so, you know, he really was, I think my mom wanted me to as well, but she was very much like into traveling with me and like helping me and supporting me. And like, she's always going to support me with whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. Where my dad was just more like, you have to go to school. You have to work in malls until you're on something.
So you were like, I'm going to hang with mom.
I was like, but no, I really,
wait, what mall did you work in?
I worked in Valencia Mall because I grew up in Valencia, California. So,
even though you were on TV and like making full healthy income, your dad was
not yet. I was making income because obviously since I was three, I was like doing stuff along the way, and I did like
obviously
you know since
like
I was
a normal
child three
rolls around and you're like, where's my career at?
No, I did a pilot like every year when I was like 16. I did a pilot for Chuck Lorre and then it didn't get picked up, and then I did another pilot the next year. So I was doing pilots, but the deal was until I was on a show where I was a series regular and it getting picked up was when I would stop. And finally, the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody happened. And so I stopped working in the
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody was when your life went like.
Yeah, that was just like when I was, you know, 18. I just graduated high school and I was just like, this is my out.
So up until 18, you weren't famous.
I mean, I was famous in my mind. Nothing that I had done before. I mean, I did like guest stars and stuff, but like nothing that
you're
changed
a working actor,
my life.
But Zach and Cody was like, okay, this is the point where now everything's a little bit
everything
different.
Will like anytime you're on like that type of show, I feel like it's like craziness, you know?
Cool. And you also used to work with Lindsay Lohan, but.
Well, we
don't
used
have
to be
talk
Ford
about
models
anything,
together.
But we can talk about anything. I can cut anything out, and yet I can keep anything in. It's
it
really,
all depends on what you
I've
like.
I've got the keys to the castle. I don't want to intimidate you, Ashley, but you know my power.
I'm kind of a big
deal. Some people have 40 million followers. Other people can cut the pod or leave the pod
leave
together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so you were a Ford model
with
her. Yes,
with Lindsay. Yeah. Okay. And Misha Barton.
And Misha Barton.
Yes.
Who were you closer to?
Lindsay.
Okay. Did you talk? You didn't talk. I mean, why am I digging dirt about like a 5-year-old actor? I'm like, did 6-year-old Misha ever?
That's so funny.
But actually, I usually start the podcast by asking people like walking through their timeline, but your timeline is very public. I feel like people know who you are. I was really interested. So we had our first shoot date last Thursday. It was so fun. Is it so fun for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's still nerve wracking for me, I think, you know, like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I until I'm one of those people, like, I, you know, it takes me a couple episodes to feel comfortable in the show. So I'll just be like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, just kind of the anxiety and energy of it is like I'm not completely comfortable yet. But then, like, once I kind of get into it and then done it a couple times, then I'm feeling myself and more confident, and then, like, I kind of, you know, have more fun with it.
Yeah,
but I still get nervous.
Similarly in stand up it's like once you get your first laugh, you're like, okay, cool,
yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah. And I think obviously once you do something over and over, you get like it gets better, and you feel better about it.
For concerts, is it the same?
Concerts, well, now freak just, me out.
I jump all over the place. So okay. Now we're at a concert.
Yeah,
the crowd is chanting Ashley.
No, I literally will have a panic attack before that stuff.
Really?
I actually was really good on my last live performance, which was James Gordon for Symptoms. We were at soundcheck, and I was just like, I've obviously worked on myself, you know, over the last year and a half with my anxiety and like depression and stuff. And so I was feeling
get into that
really
one.
Good about it. But yeah, I went out in front of the audience, and of course, my in-ears were like blasting, like
the things that
the
you put
in-ears,
in your ear.
Yeah, so you can hear yourself,
yeah.
Was blasting. Like something happened where the tech just like pushed the volume
Whoa.
Up, and I heard like the band behind me. Like usually I have them really stripped down so I can hear like
yeah.
the tone of my voice and like making sure that I'm like not pitchy, and I literally could not hear myself, and I was just like, oh my god. And that is a typical moment where I'd be like but I just like got through it, and
you took them out.
I did. I kind of like ripped one out being like oh, and then like they know something's up, so then mm-hmm. they check and like see, you know, what's going on the board or whatever.
Cool moment of growth.
Yeah, yeah, you know, didn't let it freak me out. And, you know, I got through it. And I sounded great, so.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit. When you said that you worked on yourself in the past year and a half, was it, like, specifically a year and a half ago that you were like, oh, damn, this is, too, like, my anxiety?
This has gotten bad, yeah. Yeah, a year and a half ago, it just got to the point where it's just like a little bit too much. I'm always about like reading books. And I think, you know, over like, I think 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I read this book called The Presence Process, which is supposed to make you very more, you know, more present. And I became too present in knowing all the issues I had. So I was like, felt anxiety for the first time. Like, I think,
oh my God, being too present.
Yeah.
Can
sometimes
make you anxious.
It's better to be a little unaware.
Lessons.
So
that's a yes. lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that is true.
Yeah.
Well, there's also just the reality of like the smarter you get, the more in tune you get. Like as you get older, one of the like very overwhelming parts of being an adult for me is just realizing the pain in the world.
Mm.
And it's like being conscious of all that is can be a curse.
Yeah. And I think it's just one of those things where it's so good to like obviously work on yourself, but that book led
stop.
Me
but
yeah, stop. No. But that point led me to like obviously I realized I had anxiety and all of those symptoms, but then mm-hmm. I was
don't
like
you think that everybody has anxiety though?
I think a form. Like I would say before I did that book and when I was younger, I would say I had a healthy form of anxiety that like it was like, you know, little butterfly, you know, mm-hmm. feelings. And I'm like nothing that would really freak me out or like cause me fear in my life.
Yeah.
And then when I did that book, it kind of brought, I think, all that stuff to the surface. And then it was obviously making me they wanted me to dig more deep inside find out why I was having that stuff. So that's kind of like what I did over the last year and a half of like, you know, mm-hmm. finding out what those triggers were and like why and like kind of going through all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was really great. The book that I did recently was called Attacking Anxiety and Depression. This chick should give me like free therapy lessons because I've talked about her so much. It's not an ad, I promise. But it's by this chick, Lucinda Bassett. And I have to say, it was amazing.
I want to Google image her to see. She seems wise.
She's really wise. Her book helped me a ton.
Okay.
It
and
changed
what was
my
it called
life.
Again?
Attacking Anxiety and Depression.
Okay. I do believe that deserves.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
Attacking Anxiety and Depression. I feel I mean, I feel like when we talk about depression and we talk about anxiety, there's this tendency to be like, oh, you have anxiety or you have depression. And I feel like it's kind of similar to like sexuality, where it's like, you are gay and you are straight. But I feel if we were really honest with ourselves, we all have, it's all fluid, mm-hmm. and we all have a certain, I'm going to say the word propensity, but I'm nervous about saying it because I don't know if I'm saying it correctly.
Don't worry. Propensity? Don't even know what that word means.
Okay, cool.
So.
I feel like it's like tendency. We all have like within us, like I have like a certain amount of anxiety, like the likelihood that I would be anxious, or the likelihood that I'd be attracted to a man, or the likelihood that I'd be attracted to a woman. And we all have sort of like different likelihoods or percentages.
Or like different levels.
Levels, exactly. Yeah. And they can change based on
things. Yeah, I don't
things.
Think we like need to title our, you know, ourselves. Like I don't, especially not a
negative
title.
I just feel like there's
title.
Like, exactly, like with anxiety or with depression, people have such a hard time like associating themselves with it because it's a negative thing. But the reality is like, we all feel bummed.
Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of came out with the album Symptoms, was because I just felt like for a long time, like over the last 3 years, like it was pretty sometimes like debilitating, because I'd be in a meeting and I would just like freeze up, and it's painful. Anxiety is painful. You literally
in
like
your chest.
It's not even in the chest.
Just
it was
kidding.
Like
that's not what I meant. I didn't mean chest.
I was like, what? I was like, it's not even there. No, just you feel frozen. Then you're like, because you're just so fearful. And so I think it could be just as bad as depression, to be honest, in just a different way. But I had been living with that for so long. And so when I did my album and I was like going through the journey of this book while doing my album, it was definitely something that I knew a lot of my fans didn't know about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to stand up and talk about it, because I always said, like, I remember being at a dinner party with my friend, and she does this thing where she likes to talk about like deeper issues or deeper things that we're going through. And she went through like a whole, like, who here suffers from anxiety? And everybody like raised their hand because we're so comfortable with having anxiety.
So nervous to go to her dinner party.
I know, right?
Who thinks they could be doing better both physically and mentally?
No, it's like a very like, she's funny. But then they're like, you know, talk about depression. Nobody wants to raise their hand. And I was just like, this is kind of funny, because I feel like actually, I think in the book it says that if you suffer from anxiety, you most likely suffer from depression at some level. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like, you know, we need to take the stigma out of the word depression, because depression can mean all types of things. It's not like I was depressed, like I couldn't get out of my bed. I was highly functioning, you know, like I didn't take anything for it. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to take anything for my anxiety, because I would like breathe through it and figure out how to get through it. It'd probably be better if I took something. But yeah, I just felt like, you know what, it's time for us to start talking about these things, because I feel like when you hold it in and you don't talk about it is probably like the scariest thing. And I've lost people to depression because they
really?
because it was to the point where some of them I didn't even know suffered from
multiple
it.
People.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, my mom's from Switzerland, and in Switzerland they have a really high suicide rate. They also have like culturally this idea of like what normal is. And I feel like those are very connected. Mm. You know, people, when you're constantly trying to be normal, I actually talked to Brian about this last week, about like when we were younger, I was like this tomboy, and like physically I just felt like my body did not fit the idea of what a female body should look like. And mm-hmm. for him, he was like trying to butch it up. And just like looking back, how silly that was, like, and what a waste of time it was to feel shitty about our beautiful different bodies.
Yeah.
But I think people are constantly like, you know, rattling off the parts of them that aren't right. And it is just about this normalcy that we're all chasing that's not real.
Oh yeah. And I think that like,
and it's so cool that you're talking about it.
No, for sure. It was so funny because I just felt like it was obviously not the prettiest side of me, you know, like it wasn't like I've always been a perfectionist, and so, you know, feeling like I'm not perfect was really hard for me. But then I realized that all of those things about me is what makes me me, and it's actually mm-hmm. the most beautiful part about me is the depth and you know,
the vulnerability.
And yeah. So I feel like, you know, how we look at it, we really need to look at it as being like a part of us, and that it makes us who we are. And that's a beautiful thing to fully be yourself and unapologetically be yourself is, I think, really beautiful. So
that
is what I call so true.
Wow!
So true!
True!
Okay, Thursday night, we finished the show, and Ashley and her buds are there, her man, her sister. Then you're like, come meet us at this bar. And I've been to this bar many times. But then when you're going to meet Ashley Tisdale at the bar, you don't go to the front bar, baby. You walk through the kitchen. There's this hidden back room I never knew about. And we're hanging out and it's just so fun. And then you were talking about your grandfather. She asked where Wolfie was, my baby. And I was like, oh, he's in the dressing room. You just set it and forget it. And then set it and forget it. The guy that who's yeah, the guy?
That's not my grandpa. It's Ron Popeil is my grandpa's cousin. My grandpa was the guy who was the promoter of Ginsu knives.
So it's all in the family.
So it's all in the family for yeah. sure. Yeah.
I mean, isn't that cool?
I'm asking you. I mean, it's definitely interesting. Yeah.
Wait. So your grandfather. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's so interesting that you come from like this lineage of showmen.
I know.
And women. But your grandpa had. Tell the story. The electric toothbrush. I'm so sorry that I'm doing this.
We are not telling the story.
We're not.
No.
Okay, this is no?
No. Well, because I don't know the full story. My sister was like, that's not true. This is what happened.
Yeah, we also, what I've learned is the dynamic between Ashley and her sister Jennifer is like, Ashley will be like, yeah, at home we have a baby beluga. And then Jennifer will be like, we just ate fish. We don't have to make a claim that it's but you don't even want to say what
I
made?
Just feel like I don't want to mention it.
Okay, we won't mention it, but
that's my great-grandfather, by the way, not the grandfather.
The great-grandfather.
Yes.
Well, then what did he make in the factory that's not the other thing?
I don't know if it's patented. I don't think it is, but he like was the plastic cheese grater or something like that. He was an inventor. Let's just like leave it at that. Do you have notes?
I did write something down earlier.
Well, that's good.
It better not be your grandpa.
you're like, shit, all my stuff was about your grandfather.
Oh, can we talk about the fact that you have a in all of your houses that you built?
Oh my God, no!
Oh shit, okay, no, okay. I'm gonna, okay, 20.
Sabrina's okay. Like, can we talk about all your secrets in your house and like that you have a in every house?
What if I bleep out the word okay, I'll get this whole check.
They will not know what we're talking about.
Okay, cool. But can we talk about real estate?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about real estate. I have this in common with you. When I got my first chunk of money from hosting a show in Toronto, my parents were like, you should buy a house. I did. It was the best decision of my life. I feel like people don't talk about real estate because it sounds like you're being like, I got coins, cash, money. Mm-hmm. But it's such a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad is a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, was it similar for you? You made your first chunk and he was like, all right, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I did like, not really. I don't think it wasn't until I got a condo first and I wanted to learn, you know, I wasn't like, I didn't want to go straight where some of my friends have straight from my parents' house to a house because I was like,
yeah,
I need to learn.
Kind of scary.
They are. I need to like learn to be by myself in a smaller place. And I need to learn like how to clean. Like I need to like do my laundry. Like, you know, like I can't just go from like one jump to like a
so
house,
cute.
You know,
I need to work in a mall and I need to learn how to clean.
Yes. So I definitely got a condo first when I was on the series I was on. And then when I felt I had grown out of that, which was, you know, it was definitely when I did, I think after the first move, it was when I was doing actually the second movie. So I waited for a while to get a house, but okay. I did get the house and then we tore it down and we built it from the ground up.
So,
and so
cool.
That was a really fun project for me and my dad. And then ever since we like love to flip homes. I love being obviously creative in every aspect of my life.
Yeah.
So it's just something that I have fun doing. And I'm also someone who like loves looking at homes and like having a vision of like what I can see there. So it's been
and
really
fun. The
rules
fun. Are get the crappy place in the nice neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean,
they're
I
knocked
wouldn't
down
say
all
like
the, walls.
The, you know, sometimes like the first home definitely was like, I remember saying to my dad, he had found it. I just wanted to live in Toluca Lake so bad. It was like my dream. And my dad was just like, oh, I found you a place. It's really great for you. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I go to see it. And I was like, Dad, I said Spanish. This is like it was like a colonial home. And I was like, Dad. And he's like, don't worry, we can make this.
Eyebrow architecture humor.
No, I'm just like,
it was truly modern.
No, but I was just like, Dad, why don't you just find a Spanish house? And he's like, don't worry, we can knock it down. I'm like, well, we should just renovate. Like, I was like not even like thinking we were going to be doing a humongous project.
Yeah.
So he made this house into a completely, you know, Spanish, where now I like to find something that I think, because construction is fun, it's just definitely taxing as well. Mm-hmm. I like to find something that's a little bit more updated and then I'll renovate. But it is, to find a deal, usually it's just like one of those things where I am not an emotional buyer. So you don't see me walk into a home and I'm not like,
you do
oh my
not
gosh,
see her walk into a home.
This is amazing. I love this. I will negotiate that deal down so fast and so hard.
Do you have to wear like a face prosthetic so no one recognizes you?
No, I just usually am just like really serious and I'm just like, oh, well then I'll walk away. Like I am willing to walk away. My dad taught me that with ooh, buying cars. He was like, you have to be willing to walk away from this. And I'm like, but Dad, I want the car. And he was like, you've got to be willing to walk away. So he taught me it.
All right, cool. So that's a goody-goody
good
tip.
Walk away.
Yeah. Sometimes, and that's probably the same for relationships too.
You know, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Last episode, it was the title of the first one was Give Less Fucks. Cause we were talking, me and my friend Brian were talking about the balance of like, not people are always like, don't give a fuck. But then you also have to give a fuck.
Yeah.
So just the balance of like exactly what your dad was teaching you.
Yeah. You know, I think it's just something that you should, you know, especially like I think knowing when the right time is to do that, you know,
to walk
like
away
in relationships. Yeah. And, you know, anything like that. And buying a home and buying a car.
And also that what I find as we're getting older and you see the relationships around you and you're like, you see the ones that are positive and the ones that are kind of, you're like, I'm glad I'm not in that one.
Yeah.
Those ones, I feel like it's oftentimes, it's not just that one person is being shitty or not compromising. It's that another person is really not negotiating for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing of the walk away too, is like, no, this is not cool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in my past relationships, it was just something that I would try hard to make it work. And I was just like, oh, like, you know, because I don't know, like you want to see something work and you want it to work. And you
especially
think,
if you're a perfectionist.
Yeah. And you
or you're someone like, I think both of us have this in common of what? Like, well, just knowing what you want when you're young, having that part figured out. You're like, I'm the kind of person that makes something work.
Yeah. And so you're just like, and you're like willing to put the work into it. So you're like, I've got this. But
this
then
is the third
just
time in this podcast that I've been like, we're the same.
Yeah, we are. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, oh, you know what? It's time to walk away from this. Like, you know, you tried so hard and you're just like, this is not working out. And sometimes it's crazy, but I think the hardest part is when you're in it, is when you can't see the other mm-hmm. side of it. Like, you don't know who, if you're going to meet someone else, you don't know who is supposed to come into your life. You mm-hmm. just have all these, like, it's almost like this scary thing of like fear that you're like, oh, but this is like, okay. You know,
it's
like
momentum too. It's like the motor in you yeah. has been like, make this work.
And
like,
so finally you have to just like stop it. And you just have to be like, okay, this is just not working for me anymore. It doesn't make me happy. I always go with, if it doesn't make you happy, it's time to walk away.
Yeah.
You know, you should always be happy. I mean, there's going to be times where you're like, yeah, not having like a great day and
there's
stuff.
There's times where it's work.
Yeah. But you should always be fulfilled with like happiness, I think.
Yeah.
In work too. Like if mm-hmm. you're doing something like a company or, you know, a show and you're just like miserable, like then why are you doing it? You know, like you need to.
Have you walked away from projects?
Or no, you mean like I've you luckily see it through and have then I've seen it through, but then I'm like, please don't get picked up, and some of them don't get picked up. Then
I love
like,
that you
okay,
have
cool.
so many things that you've done where it's like not a risk for you to say that.
Yeah, you're like yeah.
Okay, yeah. Patty was asking you at lunch, Patricia Heaton, my other co-star.
She's the coolest.
Do I have to remind you?
Now for your daily reminder that I'm the star of a sitcom.
She was asking you about that. Was it like hard for you to date because of fame? Because of fame monster? Because
I.
Or do you just then end up, but like, it seems like it's, you just end up meeting people that, you know, are kind of in the same business.
I think that that was what it was. It wasn't hard for me because I would always meet somebody on set or like, and not an actor, but like I would meet like, you know, the director or that sounds horrible.
No, but it's the people that you're working with. No, but like directors, you know, are also hot.
Yeah.
It's like a hot thing to be like telling me what to do.
Who's directing my music videos? So don't worry, you know, but I think that, yeah, when you meet people like this for us every day at work is just like kind of like where you meet people. And so it's just kind of easy to meet someone. It's harder to meet someone that is normal. And I'm glad.
Well, I also
like,
think it seems like when people know you, and I'm kind of having this weird like adjustment period of like, I'm like, you know, I've been writing on shows and now I'm like acting, and like there's a different, people treat you a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
People treat you like the structure of the set is like you're the star of the show a little bit. I mean, like our show is really chill, but there is just like an adjustment of the way people treat you. I even know this from like stand up or like working in TV in Canada, is just people treat you differently when they've seen you, they have a relationship with you. And so every conversation that someone has with you, there is this context that exists for them that doesn't exist for you.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's hard to like just move through regular situations without someone being like, what a bitch, she didn't even know that we're best friends, kind of thing, like in my mind. But then the other thing is like, yeah, just meeting someone who doesn't work in this industry, there's just so much otherness associated with you.
I think when I was younger, it would probably be a lot more trust issues. I mean, even you have trust issues even with people that are in the business, because you're just like,
I don't trust you, you know, one bit.
I don't trust you either. No, because you're like, are they using me? Are they, what are they trying to, you know, just like all these are like when you're young and you just don't know. But I think that for me, I've never wanted to, like, I really haven't ever wanted to like date another actor for some reason. I just think that, I don't know, like I'm not into actors in that way.
The desperation, the caked on makeup on a man face. It's not just screaming,
like,
security.
It's just, I think it's so normal for us to be around people like that all the time that I'm like, I don't know. Just, I mean, actors are crazy. I'm crazy, so I can say that.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're a little crazy, you know?
Yeah,
so it's,
you
like,
need one, you need a grounding force.
You need a grounding. And so I'm so glad my husband is in the business but does something completely different.
Yeah, he makes music, which is so sexy.
Yeah, so sexy.
And you said that sometimes you walk into a room and he's like
driving. Yeah, he's like doing some Spanish
and
music, and I'm like,
you're like so into Spanish that I really hope he learns Spanish. She's told me like at least 30 times that he's 30% Spanish. But you also explained that on one side, I don't understand how the 30%, it's, I think it's more 25%.
Maybe it is, I don't know, because his dad is half Mexican.
His dad is
half Mexican.
His dad is half,
and then so that makes him 30 or
25. I think it's 25.
This is
unless,
making me sad.
Unless his dad was like a much larger force.
His dad is a larger force.
You know, like, then
I
kind
of like it being 30%. So
right,
I'm going
right,
to stick
I'm
with
gonna,
it.
All right, I'm not going to. You didn't know this would be a hardball interview involving mathematics.
Yes.
Hollywood Scoop. Scoop, scoop, scoop.
It's time
Hollywood
for
scoop,
Hollywood Scoop.
Scoop, 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 scoop. Well, when you were talking about like dating directors and stuff, I feel like there's such a like the perception is that like Hollywood, everyone's being so horny and gross, you know, like with like the Me Too movement, there's a lot of like Hollywood actors. And did you take your earbud up?
No. Was I pulling on yours? Sorry.
No, you weren't. We're, like, just so you know,
just so you know, I have tiny ears, so these things fall out all the time.
Ashley has ears the size of
baby ears.
Traditional fingernails. And we're also sharing one Avis brand name, which is a rental car company.
Oh, nice.
We're sharing. I don't know where I got them from, but you know, 50 cent earbuds that are split in half. It's a big budget podcast, okay?
Yeah, no.
What I'm trying to say is that like the perception is that Hollywood has like so much more Me Too times up action, but I think that it's more women in Hollywood that have been treated this way have more leverage and power and are not like tied to these companies that that other industries would have. So they're able to be like, yeah, so-and-so, you know, told me to give him a hand job and for a part. A hand job? I clearly don't understand the straight world. And what I was trying to say is that, like, it's more exposed in Hollywood. But is
definitely
it
more exposed in Hollywood for sure. Because, you know,
because
of
there's
who's
badass
involved
women
and stuff.
Yeah.
But.
Because, like, imagine you work for, like, a huge company and your boss is, like, a monster. But
yeah.
You work for him. There's just so much, like, in this business, you work on a TV show or a movie, then you move on. You work with different people. I think it's, like, less likely to be reported in companies and other industries.
Yeah, I never thought about that, actually. But
well, I'd love for you to weigh in for about 40 minutes.
I mean,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, then that was just a theory. That was just a scoop out of my old brain. If you agree with me, please tweet at us. This is going out live, by the way.
Call your mommy.
These things are hilarious.
Okay.
Have you sat in this chair yet? It's kind of uncomfortable.
Is it not comfy?
No, it's fine. I like it.
Do you want to switch sides?
No.
You can. I mean, I'm very comfy.
I'm okay. You are so comfortable.
Okay, we'll switch.
You need to take a picture. No. Stay there. I want to take a picture of you doing this podcast right
now. All
right,
cool. Please.
Actually,
do.
Can I do like an Instagram thing right now?
Oh, yeah. I've got to ask. Oh, that's what I was going to.
I'm just going to say, like,
after my hard-hitting Hollywood questions.
This chick kept me after work to do her podcast. We're doing right now in her dressing room, live from Sabrina's dressing room.
So good.
You know.
So you don't really think about what you're posting. You're living your day and you're posting.
Yeah.
And that's what's gotten you.
I don't think about it.
I don't talk about it.
I don't talk about it.
I don't teach people about it.
Uh-uh.
But she did teach me about it, and I will share the tips with you. Lesson number one, you gotta... Let me throw a little...
You do not keep secrets.
Oh, this is a secret?
Well... I love how you're like, and then she said... on the algorithm.
But I'm trying. This is a podcast about, okay, so the podcast is called, this is what, do you want
to
know
get
where
followers?
It's just called the Goody Goody. So it's like whatever the Goody Goody stuff that you have to share with me.
But then there's secrets.
But okay, I won't reveal your Instagram secrets,
okay.
But I do want to know, because like there are famous people that don't have 11 million followers. That does
I can
seem...
tell you an Instagram tip.
Yeah, tell me Instagram tip. Just the tip.
Just
hey?
That tip.
Tune in Thursday to find out how to get millions of followers. Also, the girls do this.
Ashley, how do you do a good marriage?
Your lyrics are amazing. I love when you improvise your songs.
And find out which part of Ashley's body is the most talented.
My feet are very talented.
All right, we gave that part away. But tune in to hear something from my mother.
The glycemic index of a Irby is a lot better. That means for diabetics, it takes a lot longer for it to go in, you know, to convert to sugar into your blood.
Stay tuned for Thursday's Goody Goody.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.